You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. The Super Bowl is being played one fungo from the eighth wonder of the world. That's what the Houston Astrodome, the first indoor baseball stadium, was called when it opened in 1965 to a three-game exhibition series against the Yankees, in which Mickey Mantle hit the first home run in the place. But the Astros left for the other side of town in 2000, 3 years after the NFL's Oilers left town for Tennessee. Since then, the Astrodome was on life support, fending off efforts to have it torn down. But the old place has new life, and that suits our guest because her heart is in that building. You see, her father built it. We welcome to the show Dini Hofeinz Anton. Dini,
thank you, baby boy Randall.
Thank you very much.
I'm very happy to be here and visiting with you and other baseball fans around the world.
Thank you very much, and thanks to the World Wide Web. It's too bad, Dini, that the Super Bowl isn't being played in your beloved Astrodome.
Well, of course, I feel that way, but you know, I guess if it can't be played in the Dome, to be played at the neighbor's house, that's pretty good, too. It's getting awfully close to home.
It is. It will sort of have a role this week as the world's biggest storage facility.
Happen this week. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And it's a mighty good one. We got a lot of space there.
Yeah, but plenty. There was an anti-Astrodome group wrote 2 years ago that the Astrodome needed to be torn down for parking or green space in time for this Super Bowl. But fortunately, Dini, that never happened.
Well, we were close. We didn't quite get there. I'll tell you, Judge Ed Emmett has worked really hard to try to get us there on time, but we may not be there on time for the Super Bowl, but we're going to be on time for everything else that comes, and there'll be future Super Bowls, and there's going to be parking.
Yes, and I understand that a few months ago, politicians approved a plan to repurpose the Astrodome as a convention facility and parking garage for 1,400 cars so that it can now begin to make money rather than cost what is estimated to be $170,000 to maintain.
So that's actually an inflated number that kind of got floating around there. I don't know. It must have been convenient to somebody to spread that number around, because it has not been that much by any means. But the point is that they've passed it now. They've been through the Texas Historical Commission, making it a landmark. This is so good. Like along with the Alamo, a landmark historical facility. It's a legend now. It's like it can't be messed with, unless the Texas Historical Commission were to give it, you know, give the go. So the Texas Historical Commission, by the very nature of its name, they planned it. They're preservationists, and they plan to keep it up there for a long, long time. I think we've got it made now, thanks to Judge Emmett and a few friends of the Astrodome that have been very, very loyal, very energetic, and it's just been a real ride, and I've made some great new friends and gotten to connect with some old friends, and it's just, there's nothing like a joined passion, you know?
Right.
When people get together for the passion, the same passion, there's some kind of love that goes around that's just, you just can't find that anywhere. So there were a lot of us that were fighting for our Astrodome.
Dini, there was a time in New York where there was not the respect for structures that had history, as an example of which Penn Station, the major train station, was torn down and went away and was replaced by this underground cavern called Penn Station, which is a horrible facility and has no amenities whatsoever. And in the wake of the destruction of Penn Station, they looked at Grand Central Station like, well, maybe it's time for that to go. And fortunately, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis
was the person.
Exactly. She stepped forward, and the city of New York established a landmarks commission to landmark Grand Central Station so nobody could mess with it. So
that's what we are. The Astrodome is a landmark now.
Right.
If I failed to mention that word before, that was a serious oversight, because we are a landmark now. It's the same. Mrs. Kennedy Onassis was a great inspiration to me.
And also, you mentioned the Alamo. When you think of two structures in the state of Texas, the ones that immediately come to mind are the Alamo and the Astrodome.
There you go. So they're both saved. So happy. Like when you said that the Astrodome had been on support. You know how when we get real old or get real sick, they put people on life support. You were saying how the Astrodome had been on life support. And we aren't on life support anymore. We're off life support and healing so well that we're going to be kicking up our heels before you know it.
But there must have been a long period of time, Deanie, where you worried about the very existence of the Astrodome for the future.
Well, of course, it had to cross my mind because there was so much so much rumor and so many people that, you know, felt that it was going to go or that it ought to go. There was a lot of negativity going around, but I guess I got my dad's gene, because even though there were times when I was concerned, it never really crossed my mind that the people of Harris County, of Texas, really, anybody would really tear down something that's of such value. I mean, the space involved there, the land that it's on, and Harris County, Texas, owns it. So to tear that down just didn't make any sense to me at all. And I just had faith in God and the sensibility of man and women that it wasn't going to go. It just was not built against all odds to be just knocked down. It just couldn't happen. So I've never lost faith.
For those who don't know, I want to take a few minutes to talk about how it came to be. And this extraordinary person that was your father, Judge Roy Hoffines, who actually came to public office at the age of 21.
Well, actually, he got his law degree when he was 19.
Wow.
Yes, you're right. And then he ran for the Texas State Legislature, won at 21. He was the county judge at 24 years old, and then he became mayor before he was 40. So he and my mother were quite a team.
I bet so. And a guy who, from what I've read about him, a master salesman, Deanie, a tremendous energy, and a guy who just craved challenges.
Loved them. And very rarely ever missed meeting one, you know, head on. I'm trying to recall. I think we lost one election.
Mm-hmm.
Over all the years that I can remember, we lost one election, but it turned out to be a blessing.
How so?
Because that freed Dad up to do something even greater than what he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, he got to build the very, very first indoor all-purpose Dome Stadium.
And what is your earliest
for all those that followed? And then we had the scoreboard that was invented at the Astrodome. We had the big, you know, massive electronic scoreboard,
right,
with
the snorting bull.
Amazing. Did you see it, Ed?
Yeah, I remember the snorting bull.
Yes, we had the snorting bull. We just had all sorts of things on that scoreboard. It was fabulous. And then he invented skyboxes, basically. He invented skyboxes. He took the seats at the very top of the dome, all around the top, and turned them into the best seats in the house, having their own private, you know, buffet to eat and three television sets to monitor everything going on in the world. That time, I think we only had three television stations, which in itself is amazing, isn't it, when you think of all the TV we can get nowadays.
Absolutely right.
And an AstroTurf came to it, whether people like it or not. It had to be,
right?
Because when the outfielders couldn't see the balls and they were dropping them in the outfield, it was quite a problem. It was a worry. But Dad loved the challenges, just like you said. And after like about maybe 4 or 5 days, he had come up with AstroTurf, mm-hmm. Named it AstroTurf. So, you know, anybody that has any of that or sees any of that can just remember from whence it came. The necessity was the mother of invention. We had to cut the glare.
Right.
So when we cut the glare, the grass died.
Right.
Out in the outfield. So there was no grass. It was just dirt. And he had to have grass out there by the next home games. And so that's what he did.
When the dome opened, it featured a special type of grass that was bred to grow indoors through a translucent roof. But the players complained about the glare off the roof. So some
because
sections.
They couldn't see the balls.
Right.
The, so
some
they couldn't
right.
see the balls. They couldn't see them, you know, up in the air. When the glare would come down, they would look up to try to catch the fly balls. And by golly, you know, the glare would get in their eyes, and they couldn't really see the balls to follow them around to catch them.
Right, exactly. So some sections were painted white, but then the grass died. So they played parts of two seasons on dirt that was painted green before AstroDurf was installed. And we should mention that the grounds crew wore spacesuits, and they vacuumed the carpet. How cool is that?
Everything was a tribute to the astronauts, because we're so proud of the astronauts.
Of course.
And that they made their home here, of course. And so everything became the Astros, Astrodome. We had Astro World Amusement Park. And the whole, we had Astrodome, Astro World Hotel at that time. Everything was Astro everything.
Right.
Astro Turf. We had Countdown Cafeteria. Everything had something to do with space.
Your dad was a driving force to bring Major League Baseball to Houston in the early 60s. What is your earliest recollection, Deanie, of your dad envisioning a gold dome stadium for Major League Baseball?
Well, I think the real inspiration there, because people have been a little confused about what the inspiration was, and I believe the inspiration was the fact that in order to get a Major League Baseball team in Houston, we had to promise them better weather.
Good luck.
And, because I had been gritching about rain checks at Old Buff Stadium, because I got to go to baseball games with my dad, but we'd always have to go home because of the rain. And I just asked him why we couldn't play baseball inside. And that I think that stuck with him. But I do think that the main thing that inspired him and pushed him toward what ended up happening was the fact that the HSA, Houston Sports Association, they were not going to be able to get a team if we couldn't promise better weather than the people had found when they'd come down here to check it out. They'd go, wow, this is going to be a hard place to play baseball outside. And Dad said, well, I've got an idea for that. And the final blow, in terms, in a good blow, I mean, impetus, is that the word? The final thing that
sure.
made it happen
yep.
was the mother and daddy standing over at he wanted to take her to Europe, and he took her over to Rome, and they were standing at the Rome Coliseum, and it just hit him. This is it. He looked at my mother, and he said, Mama, this is what our stadium has to be, with a lid on it.
With a lid on it. And everything changed.
With a lid on it.
And we should mention, Deanie, that in the early years of the Houston franchise, when they were then the Colt 45s, changed their names when they moved into the Astrodome in 65, but when they played in the other ballpark, they say that the flies, the mosquitoes, were like little 747s, and that they actually had to give the fans
huge.
Cans of bug
it was
spray.
Unbelievable. I mean, they were huge, and they were everywhere. And everybody, it wouldn't even have to rain, but everybody would be so sweaty just from the humidity.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really that pleasant an experience, although the diehards, they were there. But it was not that pleasant an experience. So once we moved into the Astrodome, that was taken care of.
Yes, it was. You did everything but change the weather because you didn't have to. What do you remember about that first game? We're with Deanie Hoffheinz Anton. Her father built the Astrodome, which sits beside the site of Super Bowl 51. What do you remember about that first game against the Yankees and Mickey Mantle hitting that home run?
Well, I don't think there was any more exciting time in Houston, Texas than that. Not really. It was very, very exciting. And before Mickey even hit the home run, it was already exciting. The president of the United States, Lyndon Johnson, was on his way, and the game was a little bit delayed. because, you know, the traffic and all of that. So he was a little bit late to get there. So the game was just a little bit late to start, and everybody was getting a little bit excited and antsy, and come on, let's get this game on the road here. Not on the road, but let's get this game going right here at home under glass. We're going to get ready to play indoors. Let's get it going. So when he arrived, he and the astronauts threw out the first ball. And actually, correct me if I'm wrong here. There was the exhibition game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. But I think of the first game where Bob Aspromonte hit the ball out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was not a.
That was a regular season game. Right.
That was the real deal when Bobby Aspromonte hit it out. I think when Mickey hit it out, it was an exhibition game.
It was
the first night that we'd played. First time that baseball had been played inside. Boy, was that exciting.
Oh, well, my goodness. I can't even imagine. And
that place was just rumbling. That big old, and it's such a strong building, you know.
Yeah.
But you could just feel it. It was just the most exciting thing. Of course, the astronauts were really proud because they realized, you know, Dad's excitement about them and their program and all. So, as a matter of fact, Dad had helped get NASA into the Houston area because of his longtime friendship with Lyndon Johnson. He had been Lyndon Johnson's first campaign manager.
Right. And on that first day against the Yankees, John Connally, the Texas governor, threw out the first pitch. There were 253 writers from all over the country who were credentialed.
253 writers?
Yeah, who were credentialed, and they were there. But I want you to talk about, for a moment, one other aspect of this incredible structure called the Astrodome. There was an apartment inside it that your dad had built for himself, and he'd even 10 bars. There and had a and Deanie, I read that he had a device installed at the end of the bar that would prevent beers from sliding off. That's true, right?
Yeah. Well, it was really funny because somebody would be sitting along the chairs along the bar there, you know, and he'd punch this little button that would just very slowly either make their chair go up. He'd pick whichever chair he wanted. The chair would go up. The chair would go down, and slowly enough to where the person enjoying their cocktails and, you know, in the game and all that, in the busyness of everything, they weren't really realizing that they were going way up, that they were going way down, but rather slowly.
Wow.
So there were, you know, at some point, some guy would have his head way down, almost under the bar. What in the world? I think I've had too many drinks.
And they could go to an all faith chapel to ask for forgiveness of their sins if they wanted to inside the building, and
yes,
also get a haircut. There was a barber shop in there.
That's exact. All of that's very true. And we had a bowling alley, and we had a miniature golf thing, you know, a putting green. And we had the presidential suite, and with a special room for the Secret Service, and a lot of the VIPs that came, whether they were celebrities or they were potential big sponsors or already big sponsors, Daddy kind of had a reason for everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He liked more than anything for people to, you know, to really grasp his imagination and his ability to cross all the T's and dot all the I's and have people talking about it when they left. Because that did nothing but generate more interest for the project, everything about it.
Sure.
So he sold a whole lot of advertising, a lot of things with the showmanship and this everything that he did behind the scoreboard or next to the scoreboard up there, that in his skybox up there. He did a whole lot there to impress future, future business associates.
Sure.
And again, celebrities. Michael Jackson stayed there. Elvis Presley stayed there. Frank Sinatra stayed there. I could go on and on.
I know the
listing. Johnson stayed there.
I know the listing is incredible. The Oilers moved in to join the Astros in 1968. Elvis Presley played there 6 times. It was the site of the Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs Battle of the Sexes.
It was.
And the 1968. And right, exactly. And the 1968 Game of the Century between UCLA and Houston. Evel Knievel jumped there. Muhammad Ali fought there 4 times. And
yes,
you probably went to every one of those things.
I did. And Ali, to me, I loved everybody that I got a chance to get to know, because you get to know them on a you know, on a more personal basis. I mean, they're sort of living in your county's home, you know?
Yeah.
As guests. And I must say that Muhammad Ali was one of the sweetest people. He was, you know, you don't get that impression from a lot of the news clips that people that weren't around at that time, they see it now and they go, you know, what an arrogant, you know, they don't really necessarily get that great a impression of him if they just see old news clips. But he wasn't like that at all.
Right.
That was, a lot of it was just show. Not his religion. That wasn't for show. He was very sincere about his faith. That was his faith.
Hmm.
But generally speaking, I must say, he was a real gentleman, and as sweet, soft-spoken as you would ever believe. It was almost like you'd punch a button, and he would just turn into Muhammad Ali. He'd go from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali.
Before you go, in our remaining moments with Dini Hafhines Anton, I need you to tell the story about June 15th, 1976, when the Astros were scheduled to play the Pittsburgh Pirates, and in a dome stadium, the game was called off because of rain.
You're talking about the leak?
Yeah.
The major leak. Wasn't that a joke?
Yeah, the major leak in the major leagues. Yes.
But it got fixed up.
Yeah.
He craved a challenge.
There was there was a storm, and the floor where the field was 45 feet below ground level, and entrances to the park, not to mention the nearby streets, were flooded, and so they had to call off the game in the Astrodome, believe it or not.
To get it all fixed up. Oh, by the way, have you heard that the floor down there, that's going to be lifted up?
Right, I heard that.
There, it's going to be lifted up. So that all the parking area can be developed underneath there.
Right.
We've got everything. I tell you, this Judge Ed Emmett that we have here, who is ironically is also a county judge, as Dad was, back when he was 24 years old. You know that you've got two county judges, one built it and the other saved it. So
right.
The bookends are Harris County judges, and Judge Emmett is a really, really fine guy.
How fitting that is. And the women who worked as usherettes, in addition to having the grounds crew in spacesuits, the usherettes were known as space cadets before.
That's right.
Before we thought
they
that
were.
Was insulting.
You had that connection again. He loved to just sit around and think of, you know, what he was going to call this or that, and ask me what I think it should be called or not be called. And oh, it was just, I mean, those meetings were so much fun. The guy was fun, you know. When we were in crisis, you know, his cheek would start to kind of grind. He'd be grinding his teeth, trying to concentrate on how he was going to what he was going to do to solve the next problem. He was always looking to the next problem.
How wonderful!
He realized in life there are always going to be problems.
Right.
So he didn't let them get to him.
How wonderful it is, Dini, it must be for you to know that people are coming from all over the country and even from foreign lands to watch this football game called the Super Bowl, and they're going to see that structure right beside it, the Astrodome, and people are going to ask questions about it and how it came to be, and I would think that gives you such a sense of satisfaction.
Oh, I can't even tell you how much it fills my heart. It really, really fills my heart. I'm so glad I've lived to see this. Of course, I still have a few more days, don't I?
Yes, you do. I hope you have countless days. What a joy it is to have you with me, Dini. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, and I thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. So that'll do it for Dini Hafhines Anton and myself on MLB.com. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.